chapter 2, Colossians 2, and look at verses 6 through 12. Took a CT scan Friday and found out my lungs are worse, which we suspected. The disease has flared up, I guess you could say. So I'm going to have to go down to Riverside Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for steroid injections, and Friday start a new drug, chemo drug, once a week for 4 weeks. We will see how that works. I have good doctors to show you how good I believe he is. I got my CT scan was done at 9:30, and his office was calling me before 11:30 with the results. So I have good doctors, but I don't trust the doctors. I don't trust the new medications. From the beginning, I trust God, and that's what we continue to do. Some of you sitting here are testimony to the fact that God is able, well able to do the impossible, because you're here, and some of you shouldn't be here, but you are. So I trust God. He is well able to do anything. I do appreciate your prayers and concern, and continue to ask that you would pray for me and my family. Colossians 2, 7, verse number 6 now. The Bible says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Question, how did we receive Christ? How do we receive Christ? When we ask him to be our Savior, how do we do that? It was through what? Through faith. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Romans chapter 3, if you'll turn back there quickly, Romans 3, verse 25. It's through faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God said. Faith in what God's word revealed to us about our condition. Romans 3, verse 25. Pick it up, verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And again, in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We accepted what God's word said by faith. We're all sinners. At some point, you have to realize that if you're going to be saved, that you're a sinner. That God's word is true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must realize that. You must see your need of a Savior. Your need of salvation from your sin. We need to repent and be saved. That's how we accepted Christ. By faith, we just believed what God's word said. Right? We believe. We put our faith in what Christ did for us on the cross. It is by faith. Well, that's how we are to walk. By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's hard to do. Really, you think about it. That's hard to do. We want to go by what we can reference. But that's not how we're supposed to do it. That's not how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to walk by faith. We receive and accept what God's word says by faith. Acts chapter 17 gives us an example of this. Acts 17, verse 11. Paul, of course, in his many missionary journeys here, this is right after his problems in Thessalonica. Verse number 10 says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." They did not take it at face value. They did not accept what Paul said just because it maybe sounded good. They went to the word of God to see if it lined up. They walked by faith, not by sight. That's where we get into a lot of problems in our lives. We're walking by what we can see, by what we can hear, by what we think is best, by what we see is when we line up the facts and we use our own logic and we say this is the best course of action. That's not walking by faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with logic. You should use logic. And if you're not, please start. That'd be nice. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if you are basing your life on only your experience, you're going to have problems. We walk by faith. What does that mean? By God's word. Even when it may not make complete sense to you and me. Did it make complete sense to Joshua when God told him to conquer the city by marching around it? Any military tactician is going to say, "You got to be kidding me. Are you serious? That's your plan? You're going to conquer this mighty city by marching around it and playing trumpets?" That's ridiculous. No, that's what God said. You walk by faith. What God's word has said, that's what we go by. Well, nobody does it anymore. So what? God's word said it. We go by it. If we're going to walk by faith, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what we may see, what we may think, what we may reason. We go by what God's word says. That's how you got saved. Because you accepted what God's word said. Why aren't you walking the same way? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This verse stood out to me a few years ago. It's become one of my favorite verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." God's word will work in your life effectually if you believe it. Faith. Are you going to follow it? Are you going to live by it? Are you going to live it? Remember, he said this before. This isn't a religion we're talking about here. We don't come here on Sundays to continue a religion. This is life. If you have it, this is life. If you take it, this is life. If you apply it, you will see it is life. It's real. It's not a list of duties. It's not a surface we run through weekly. This is life. Are you walking by faith? In order to do that, we must receive His Word. Let's look at a couple of verses. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul has a question here, and it's a really good one. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, if I was hearing with faith?" Yeah. You got saved by faith. Anything you did, before Christ did, and you put your faith in Christ. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Do you think you can accept salvation by complete total reliance upon God, faith in God, and then somehow you think that you can now walk your own way? By your own guidance, by your own references?" That's ridiculous. That's what Paul said, that's foolish. Walk by faith. You receive Christ by faith. You're trusting Him with your eternal soul. Can't you trust Him with your life here? Can't you follow His word by what His word says here? If you can't trust Him for here, how in the world do you trust Him with your soul eternally? You really can't. You really can't. We must receive God's word as it is. Proverbs chapter 1. Go to Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 3. The reason Solomon wrote this book. He says, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. That's good. To perceive the ways of understanding. That's good, too. And look at verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. You know, you can teach, how many teachers have been teachers or have taught something before? You can teach people some things, but as far as them receiving it, that's out of your hands, isn't it? It really is. If you want this to work for your life, if you want God's Word to work, you're going to have to receive it. You know, God doesn't open up the top of your head and pour it in like a pitcher of tea and close it up and say you're good. You have to receive it. You must. Are you? When Pastor gets up there and preaches like he preaches, what's your reaction? How dare he? Who does he think he is? Problem with reception there, I think. You need to adjust the rabbit ears a little. Do you receive it? You're going to have to if you want to walk by faith, if you want God's word to work in your life. You've got to receive it. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, that's a big if, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. We must receive His Word. Why? Because receiving God's Word opens up God's Word. Receiving God's Word opens it up. Accepting it as it is in truth, the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's how it works. When you receive it, when you accept it as that, you don't look at it as something that's optional. You don't look at it as, well, that's a pretty good guide that I'll add in this and that and take out this and that and make it my own little custom list to follow. No, it's not going to work. You must receive it as God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When you accept God's Word and receive it as it is, the truth, that's when God's Word can open up and work. John chapter 3 and verse 33. John 3 and verse 33. The Bible says, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. When you accept this book as God's Word, as the truth, you will see that it is. God said, prove me. Right? Prove. Just, if any man will do the will of my Father, he shall know. It's right there. It's the truth, people. Take it. Apply it. Receive it. Make it your life. Walk by faith. By following God's Word daily through your life. It's all about Christ, bottom line, abiding in Him. It's about Christ. Abiding in His Word. John 15, you abide in me, I abide in you. With Christ. Accepting and receiving God's Word as it is the truth. Let me go back to Colossians chapter 2 and just look at a couple of these phrases that Paul uses here. Just for a few minutes. Walking by faith. We receive Him by faith. We walk by faith. Colossians 2. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted in Him. Anybody remember Psalm chapter 1? Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Rooted in Christ. Tell me, what are your roots in today? What are your roots feeding on? Too much of this world, perhaps? Are you really rooted in Christ? Is that where you're drawing your strength, drawing your nourishment, drawing the things that are vital for your spiritual life? Are you rooted in Christ? So it's time to plant gardens. It'll stop raining. It's time to plant gardens. That plant's got to be rooted before it's going to do anything. The roots grow first before it comes out the top. Are you rooted in Christ? What is your foundation in life? Is it your own logic? Is it your own wisdom? Is it what you see? Is it your own experience? Is it what you have decided? I am going to do with my life. This is what I think is good. This is what I think isn't. Or are you going to walk by faith and follow God's word? Rooted in Christ. Not only rooted, but built up in Him. Built up in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Many verses on the subject of being built up in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 there, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Jude, verse 20. Back there in the Bible. Jude, and verse 20. Jude tells us here, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building up yourselves on what? Faith. Not your works. Not what you think. The faith. Faith in God. Faith in His Word. Faith in Christ. Building up. You're rooted. You are built up in Him. And then He says, established in the faith. Established in the faith. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Established in the faith. What is it to be established? It means yourself. Nothing's going to shake you. Nothing's going to remove you. Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to Him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Being rooted in Him, built up in Him, and established in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. A very familiar verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Paul gets to telling us about the victory we have over death and over a sin. He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Many other verses we could look at on this. Are you established in this faith? Are you settled? Are you firm? Yeah, there's going to come some hard knocks in your life. There's going to come some pretty serious blows. Some stiff, hard blows. But if you're established in the faith, they're not going to uproot you. They're not going to shake you. You're still going to stand. Why? Through your faith? No, through faith. God's Word. He's the one who has the power. He's the one who can establish you. Be established in the faith. Be firm in the faith. The Bible talks a lot about this, to continue in the faith, to stand fast in the faith, to be steadfast in the faith, be sound in the faith. Oh, this is important. And yet how many times are we going through our lives, through our spiritual walk, not walking by faith, but by sight? We need to be walking by faith. Faith in Christ. He goes on in Colossians and talks about, in chapter 2 there, let's go back to it and read it, Colossians 2. Verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. As ye have been taught. You know, in, I believe it's 1 Timothy, we'll see if I guess right on that. 1 Timothy 6. Paul tells Timothy here, in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this book is supposed to be followed until when? Until Christ returns. He ain't come back yet, right? So that means that the same things that were wrong when Paul wrote this are still wrong today. Right? The same things that were right when Paul wrote this are still right today. Why did they change? Why did they change? Well, that's not a big deal anymore. Really. Paul disagrees. So does God. Who do we think we are? that we have decided we can override God's word and decide what is right and what is wrong. It's no big deal now. But you don't understand. Look, I understand what God's word says. I understand what the culture does. I understand what the world does. But I understand that it says we walk by faith, not by sight or what anybody else does. And if it was wrong back then, we have scripture, Bible, black and white, that says it's wrong. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Don't deceive yourself. Don't make excuses for doing stuff you know deep down is wrong. But somehow you gloss it over and say, oh, it's okay. Nobody does that anymore. If it's okay, it's no big deal now. Baloney. It's still a big deal. Have you ever compared the effectiveness of the independent fundamental church to the allowance of things that used to be bad, which we now call good? They're run pretty parallel. The more we allow and decide we override God and say the things that are bad don't matter anymore and they're okay, and then we turn around and wonder, why isn't the church so effective anymore? It's really not that difficult. It's not rocket science. We decided to walk by sight and not by faith. And we need to get back to walking by faith. As ye have been taught. What did Christ say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God. I change not. But if it was wrong then, it's still wrong now. If it changed, then God's a liar. And I don't want to say I'm a liar. I don't. His word didn't change. We're the ones that are screwing around with His word. We're the ones who are changing things on Him. We're the ones who are deciding to walk by what we decide is okay and what is not okay. And we got to stop it and get back to this book. This is life. This is walking by faith. You going to do it? As you have been taught. That's not how we were taught. You go back and study history, real, factual, truthful church history. And you will see up through the years, the same things were always preached against, the same things were always proved wrong from God's Word, up until about 100 years ago. And then we decided we knew better. And there's a lot of us in here right now who are doing things today that 100 years ago wouldn't have even entered in our minds. Yet it's normal. Well, it is, all right. What's all that? It's no different than eating. It's no different than sleeping. You better make sure you line up with God's Word. As you have been taught, we need to go back. And not just a little bit. So Jehu was willing to go back for a little while in Israel. He wanted to get rid of the Baal worship. But he only went back to the golden calf, and that's as far as he was going to go. He needed to take it further and go back to the truth. I'm afraid there's a lot of us Christians today who are willing to go back a little bit. But we're definitely not going to go back way back. Now, that's fanaticism. The last time was it that someone who can go to a ball game half naked, painting themselves in the colors of their team, wearing a stupid wig with these little foam things and screaming their lungs out just so they can get on camera for about 2 seconds. Why do we call them, we look up to them and say, wow, that's cool, that's a fan. But we look at somebody who plays on our favorite football team, and they give everything they've got. It's their life, it's their goal, and they should, because they get paid a whole lot of money to do it. They're doing all those things, and we say, man, that's a hero. And yet, when somebody tries to live for God and live for Jesus and give their life totally to Him, we look at them and say, what a fanatic. Amen. What's wrong with them? They need to loosen up. They need to lighten up. No! Thank you. I'll take the fanatic label. I'll take it. I'm just tired. I'm tired of being looked at and saying, what a fanatic. Why? Because I choose to follow God's word? That makes me a fanatic? Fine. That's fine. I'll take it. I'll be the fanatic. As you have been taught. Not only that, but Colossians 2. Abounding therein. Abounding in what? The faith. Abounding therein. What are you abounding in? I'm afraid, sad to say, most of us are abounding in things other than our faith. We're abounding in our hobbies. We're abounding in our pleasures. We're abounding in our lives. We're abounding in the world. We're abounding in everything and anything except our faith. We're not abounding in it. What does it mean to abound? You think about it. Examine yourself. Can you honestly say that you are abounding in your faith and your love for God and your love for His Word? And willing to live your life for Him? Can you say that you are abounding therein? Is it your life? There's one thing I've really enjoyed, been a blessing to me ever since I've known Him, Brother Dick Church. It isn't long before you get in any conversation and it's going to be the Word of God. That has been a blessing to me. Abounding therein. How about you? What are you abounding in? Is it your team? Is it your hobbies? What is it? It needs to be our faith. The one who loves us and died for us should be the focal point of our lives. The one who gave us this wonderful book that guides us every step of the way in our lives if we would just follow it. The one who has done everything possible for us. And we should be abounding in Him, in His love, in our faith. Instead, we're abounding in so many other things. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. We're not far from that. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. See, there isn't a thing where you get saved and you're done. That's it. That's the level. No. No, no. What did Paul say? That I may know Him, the power of resurrection, the fellowship of the suffering, being made conformable unto His death. He said, I want to know more. I want to be closer. I want to be conformed more and more to His image. There is no stopping point. There is no level. There is no finish line. Abounding therein, wanting to know more, wanting to know God more, wanting to know His Word more. That's what Paul said. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Are you thankful for what God has given and done for you? So just one of the best things for me is to just stop and look back over my life and just take the time and look and see where God has worked in my life, how He has provided, how He has blessed, what He has done. You can't help but thank God. If you're honest, you can't help but thank Him. Just look back over your life. How many times has He delivered you from a sickness or from an accident or from a serious situation? How many times has He provided and met your needs when you had no other means of providing for them? How many times? With thanksgiving. Don't get bitter at God. Do not get bitter at God. We've been through this several times too. God is good. And He does good. He's not the source of your problems. 99% of the time, the source of your problems is you. And the other is the devil. God isn't the source of problems. He's the solution to them. Do not get bitter at God. Do not get bitter at Him. Be thankful. Be thankful. He goes on then in verse 8 of Colossians 2. Beware. Beware. Beware of what? Lest any man spoil you. Beware. Means you better pay attention. You better be thinking. You better be watching. Those of you who have spent time in combat, you know that's not a place for you to put your brain in neutral. Because that's not good for you. You're in a spiritual battle here. Are you aware? Are you watching? Are you looking for the enemy? Well, if you look hard enough, you're going to find a ghost behind every tree, exactly right. I want to find the ghost before he finds me. Beware. Lest any man spoil you, what? Through philosophy. One of wisdom. Philosophy. Man's wisdom. Boy, these last 100 years, the arrogance of man is something else. It is amazing to behold how arrogant man has become. How he thinks he is the greatest. He thinks he's God. That goes back to Genesis 3. He shall be of God, and he's brought into the line ever since. Arrogance, thinking that he knows better. His wisdom. We have evolved beyond God now. Really. I'd like to see that happen. Because you're not going to evolve beyond God. You can't get beyond God. God is everywhere. God is a spirit. He is at all places, all times. You can't escape Him. You can't beat Him. You're just deceiving yourself. Beware of your own wisdom. Beware of your own logic. Beware when you start thinking in contrast to God's word and think you're right. In other words, beware. You're setting yourself up for trouble. Beware if any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit. He uses vain there with deceit. Think about that. Deceit, we know it. That's being deceptive. It's false. But he adds vain on top of it. It's empty. It's worthless. To be deceived by vain deceit. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Jeremiah 9 and verse 6. Look at what God says here. Thy habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. They bought the lie. They've chosen to believe what is wrong and false in order not to accept the truth. That's a sad place to be. Are you there? Well, no, I believe that. Well, again, in your life, again. Is there some vain deceit that has crept into your life that has made it where you are in opposition to God in some area, and somehow you think that it's no problem? Somehow you think it's okay? Somehow you think you're going to get by? It won't. Beware. Beware. Why? Chapter 17, verse 9 of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Stop trusting yourself. Stop trusting your wisdom. Stop following your vain deceit. Stop pretending that you can live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and it's all going to be fine and dandy. There's no substance to it. It's nothing. It's not there. Beware. Vain deceit. After the tradition of men. After the tradition of men. Well, we've always done it that way. That's good. Is that right? We know, does it? I know. But does that make it right? No. What does make it right? Walking by faith, what God's Word says. It's not a case of, well, we've always done it that way, or this is how it's always been done. I'm nothing against tradition. We have a lot of good ones in the United States of America. But we have some that, frankly, are not biblical. To be honest, we need to make sure we're doing what's right and walking by faith. Beware. Beware. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, the things of the world. Colossians 2, verse 20. Colossians 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, the rudiments of the world. We're supposed to be dead to those. Those are not supposed to have a pull on us. We're alive to Christ, alive to God. We're in a new life. It's to be abounding in the word of God, in His word, in His love. Not in the things of this world. And how many of us have become so deceived by the things of this world that when the world is preached against, we get mad. We get upset. Well, there he goes again, preaching against the world. Yes, there we go again, preaching against the world. It's going to keep going on and fall for it until Christ returns. Because it's wrong. We've got to be aware. We've got to be watching. This is not the time to say, oh, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Beware. The same man spoil you after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Your life is supposed to be about Christ. Because that's the only reason you have life, Christian. It's because of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have life only because of Christ. How can you find it in things that are dead? After the rudiments of the world? No, no, no. After Christ. After Christ. That's why it's important to walk by faith, not by sight. How did you get saved? You believe God. You believe God's word when it said that you were a sinner. and you needed saved from your sin, and you needed a Savior, and you asked Christ to save you and come into your heart. You believed God, and that was it. You just accepted what God said. Why can't you do that in your walk? Is it somehow God no longer knows what he's talking about? Somehow, is it, as Paul said, you've begun the Spirit, but now you think you can take over and walk fine in the flesh? You need to get real. You walk by faith. And that means obeying, seeing what God's Word says, and saying, yes, I'm going to do this. God, I need your help. I need your strength, but I'm going to obey your Word. I'm going to do what it says. I'm going to follow you, no matter what anybody else says or does, no matter if anybody else says or does what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you. Walking by faith. Are you willing to do it?